Well, we are actually right in the middle of our study on the book of the Second Corinthians. And the title of this sermon series is We Live by Faith and Not by Sight. Hold that thought, because we're actually going to look at this, because it's a verse in our passage this morning. So we're going to continue to see that Paul calls us to live with an eternal perspective, focusing on our future hope in Christ and living in a way that honors and pleases him. We're going to see, looking at today in light of our assurance of what the future holds, makes all the difference. Now, this morning we're going to actually do the second part of a two-part series. I wanted to keep this passage together, so 2 weeks ago we looked at the first five verses, and we're going to look at the second five verses today. So if you would have your Bible with you, would you please turn to 2 Corinthians 5? We're going to be looking again at verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if our earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this tent, desiring to put on our heavenly dwelling, since when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, we are confident, and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, again, 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 1 through 5, and we saw three things. First, what Paul knows for sure, and we saw that in verse 1. We actually saw two things that Paul knew for sure. First of all, he knew that death does not end our existence. But then second, that God has already prepared and planned for our glorious future. And then second, we saw in verses 2 through 4 what Paul desires, what he longs for, what he groans for. We saw that there were at least three understandings of what Paul was groaning about. First, that he groaned because he felt the pains associated with mortality, namely his physical limitations, sicknesses, pain, and the increasing disability that accompanies advancing age. But then second, he groaned because of the suffering of him and everyone else due to sin and death. It was all around Paul. It was the groaning of all creation for restoration. But then third, Paul was groaning because he longed to see Jesus and receive his glorified body. He was groaning for glory. Then third, we saw two ways Paul knows that their resurrection was sure in verse 5. Okay, so the first thing is that it's God who fashioned us, preparing and making us fit for our future glorified heavenly body. And then the second way Paul knew our resurrection was sure was the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as a divine promise. Okay, so this week, we're going to wrap up this passage by looking at verses 6 through 10 and see actually two main things. First, in verses 6 through 8, we're going to see where Paul's confidence lies. And then second, in verses 9 and 10, we're going to see why he makes it his aim to please the Lord. So first, we see where Paul's confidence lies. We see that in verses 6 through 8. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, we are confident and we would prefer to be away from the Lord and at home with the Lord. Okay, so verses 6 and 7 says, so we are always confident, talking about confident again, and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the Living Bible gives us a little more clarity with what Paul's saying here in these two verses. Now we look forward with confidence to our heavenly bodies, realizing that every moment we spend in these earthly bodies is time spent away from our eternal home in heaven with Jesus. We know these things are true by believing and not seeing. Notice Paul says he looks forward with confidence. Now, there are at least two reasons here for Paul's confidence. The first one is what we ended up with 2 weeks ago, and we just saw a minute ago. We see that in verse 5. Now, he who has made us and prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee, a down payment on the fulfillment of his promise. So as we see here, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the divine promise, the guarantee that we will all have immortal, incorruptible bodies in eternity, totally free from the effects of sin. But then second, we find in verse 7, we know these things are true by believing, not by seeing. Paul is convinced because he lives by faith and not by sight. Now, we're going to come back to this verse 7, in just a minute. But I want you to notice one more thing in verse 6. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Now, there's a hint here that when we leave our body, we go directly to be with the Lord. But we also see in verse 8 that he pretty much makes that clear. Living Bible puts it this way. And we are not afraid, but are quite content to die, for then we will be at home with the Lord. Now, here's one of the reasons why this is important. There are actually three different wrong understandings of what happens to us when we die. I already mentioned earlier that some people believe that when you die, you cease to exist. The second is that some people believe in what's called soul sleep. They believe that when you die, you are in a state of unconsciousness and aren't aware of anything until the resurrection. And then there are others who believe in what's called purgatory. They believe it's a place where souls are cleansed of imperfections and any remaining attachments to sin before they can enter heaven. But as we see here, we are either in our mortal bodies and absent from the Lord, or we are absent from our mortal bodies and with the Lord. This is a strong guarantee that when we leave our mortal bodies, we will go immediately into the Lord's presence. There'll be no soul sleep or purgatory. Also, being at home with the Lord, as we see here in verse 8, also implies not only a closer proximity to him, but also a closer fellowship with Christ than we experience right now. Okay, so again, we see in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, although the context of verse 7 is our faith in where we will spend eternity, this is also very important. It's a very important principle for our lives today. The Amplified Bible actually puts this verse this way. For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. To walk by faith, not by sight, is one of the great but difficult perspectives or principles of Christian living. Okay, so what does walking by faith, not by sight, look like in our daily lives? Well, let me give you just three things. First, it's trusting God even when you can't see the outcome. Walking by faith is about believing that God loves you and wants what's best for you. It's believing that His word is true and that He will keep His promises. Even when you don't see immediately the results you want. But it's also living according to God's promises. Walking by faith means trusting that God's promises to you are true and acting accordingly, even if you don't understand them. And then last, it's not relying on your own understanding or feelings. It's about not letting your personal understanding or emotions dictate your choices or actions, but instead trusting in God's guidance, His faithfulness. Okay, so how do we walk by faith and not by sight? Warren Wiersbe says, it's by claiming the promises of God and obeying the word of God, in spite of what you see, how you feel, or what may happen. It means committing yourself to the Lord and relying wholly on Him to meet the need. Okay, so why is it important that we walk by faith and not by sight? Well, it's important that we walk by faith and not by sight because it glorifies God. But also, walking by faith and not by sight is a witness to a lost world around us. Walking by faith and not by sight builds Christian character in our lives, and it gives us wisdom and peace. Walking by faith and not by sight helps us to see things from a spiritual, from an eternal perspective. The next in verse 8, we see two things. In fact, we are confident and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. First, as we saw earlier, that he's confident that when he dies, he will immediately be with the Lord. But then second, it's where he would rather be, where he would prefer to be. You know, I get this the older I get. Being with Jesus seems to be more and more where I want to be. You know, which is interesting. This right here, we actually had the verse already this morning, takes the sting out of death. It takes the victory out of the grave, as we see in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The next in verse 9, heaven was not simply a destination for Paul, it was a motivation. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. For Paul, looking forward to being with the Lord fueled his ambition, his aim, his goal to please the Lord, come life or death. When we really get the perspective of face-to-face fellowship with Jesus Christ, it will motivate us to please Him out of our love for Him. Then one other thing. When Paul says his aim to please Jesus is at home or away, he's using figurative speech. He's using that for always. In this type of speech, the two parts, life and death, represent the whole. In other words, Paul is saying, from now through eternity, it will be my aim to please the Lord. Now, two last things about pleasing the Lord. Okay, so first, What does it look like to please the Lord? Well, it actually pretty much comes down to, first, one thing. We please the Lord when we passionately follow Him. That's pleasing to the Lord. But underneath that, there really are two basic things, and that's just to trust and obey. Trusting Him is everything, from trusting Him in everything, from our salvation, from our sins, to trusting Him in our daily lives, but then also doing what He wants us to do, obeying His commands. That's what pleases Him. And second, and maybe even more importantly, what should our motivation be for pleasing the Lord? Well, there are actually two different motives. First motive, of course, is out of our love for Him, out of our devotion to Jesus. It's that love and devotion for Him because of who He is and what He has done. But then second, as we see actually in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, so why does Paul tell the Corinthians they need to make their aim to please Jesus? As we see here, it's because someday they will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, so first, who is this judgment seat of Christ for? Well, it appears that it's for us. It's for us as believers. But then second, what is the purpose or what's the result of this judgment? Well, since it appears to be a judgment for believers, this is not a judgment to determine whether we'll enter heaven or not. We stand righteous before God through the blood of Jesus. When we become believers, followers of Jesus, we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay, so then what is the purpose? So the Amplified Bible helps us to understand. For we believers will be called to account and must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities. One Bible commentator puts it this way. The idea is not that God will reward us for the good things we did and punish us for the bad things we did. He will rather reward us for the worthwhile things we did and not reward us for the worthless things we did. The worthwhile things are those that contribute to the advancement of God's mission and glory in the world. Worthless deeds are those that make no contribution to the fulfillment of God's good purposes. The bad works are discarded as unworthy of reward, but the good works are rewarded. The penalty is limited to the loss of reward. Believers do not face condemnation at Christ's tribunal, but rather evaluation to a view to the master's commendation given or withheld. Now, I think 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 also helps us to understand the purpose of this judgment. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that has been built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will experience loss. But he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." We see here, first, that this judgment day is for those who have their foundation as Jesus Christ. Second, those building materials are not only what we do, but the motivation for what we do. As we see, the silver, gold, and precious stones are valuable. They're enduring. They're eternal. The wood, hay, and straw are valueless in comparison and are temporal. They are gone in eternity. Folks, we can waste our lives as believers on the stuff that really doesn't matter, living our lives for ourselves instead of for Jesus. Let me just wrap up this morning with just a few applications for our lives. We build our lives using wood, hay, and straw when we live just doing what we want, when we live not trusting God and in disobedience. We're wasting our lives. We're losing out on Jesus' commendation and eternal rewards. We build our lives using gold, silver, and precious stones when we, as Paul says, make it our aim to please the Lord. It's living our lives serving Jesus out of our love for him. It's when we trust and obey him. You know, folks, it's that, Lord, you've got this. What do you want me to do?